We're going to talk with Ben Cropp about this bizarre development. I think it's about a week or so ago I heard about this. I'll just read briefly from this press release. Fresh hope in the search for missing MH370 as suspected aircraft debris washes up on a remote beach in Australia's far north. That's the headline. Now, they're talking about up there in the Daintree, if I remember rightly. I haven't got all the details in front of me. It does say further in this article, it's unlikely the remains unearthed last week belonged to the missing Boeing 777, as a part of a wing was found on Reunion Island east of Madagascar, and that was back in 2015, 5 years ago, more than 10,000 kilometres away. But a gentleman that knows all about, well, certainly planes that have gone into the ocean to the east of Australia. Ben Cropp is very much the expert in that particular regard. He's found plenty of them over the years. He's the underwater explorer and film producer, and he's on the line. Hello, Ben.
Yes, good morning, John.
Where have they found this wreckage, and what is it?
Well, I don't know exactly where they found it, and that's very important. You did say Daintree, you did say Cape Trib. There is a difference because there are no planes that crashed between, say, Snapper Island and Cape Trib area, but there were planes that crashed south of Snapper Island, and that's the important part as to where that wing washed up. Forget about it being the Malaysian one. It's like when people find a wreck, they immediately think it's a Spanish galleon, so they find a piece of plane and immediately think it belongs to that famous lost airline. Yeah, so we can forget that. You can tell it just by age, you know. Aluminium actually deteriorates slowly in the ocean. It would have to look pretty fresh, you know, to even consider the what they call them, a 730, whatever it was. But if it's corroded, of course, it would come from World War II. And there were a lot of planes lost in World War II, especially 1942. Wow. You know, there were 14 lost on one sortie, and they all ditched along the North Queensland coast. One sortie, another one, five. There were probably 100 planes lost along the Cape York Peninsula area. Maybe not 100, but certainly up around the 50, a lot.
Running out of fuel.
Yes. So they went to Port Moresby to drop bombs on the Japanese, and on their way home they might have got into a bit of a storm, lost their way a bit. You see, there was no radar, so they had to just fly till they hit Cape York and then followed the coast down.
Yeah.
That was the only way they got home, back to Townsville. And now, a lot of them ran out of fuel,
Now, with aluminium, and it's not a particularly heavy metal, I'm just wondering, would currents have an impact on where bits that are broken off with the plane smashing, going down in the water and breaking up? Would the currents have an impact on where the bits are going to be found many years later?
To a degree, the fuselage doesn't move far, but the wings do.
Yeah.
When that B-17 crashed off Yorkeys Knob, the wing floated in on the beach, but it floated in shortly after the crash. After it's been a long while down underwater, it's very likely to not move because it'll be embedded in the mud. But I do have a possible answer for this one.
Yeah.
Back in 1942, the lighthouse keeper at Low Isles saw a plane crash into the ocean south of Snapper Island.
Okay.
And I went looking for it. I wasn't able to find it, but I knew there was a plane wreck somewhere there. Then about 20 years ago, a trawler hooked up on it, and he brought the wing up, and he wanted to get rid of it, and he dragged the wing a little way, and then finally got it out of his net and dumped it. Now, that wing would already have been above water, part of it. It would have collected air, and it would have been semi-buoyant.
Okay.
You see? It was no longer stuck in the mud.
Yeah.
And that wing could have been, still sitting on the bottom, be a little light, a little buoyant, and currents could steadily move it north. And it's taken 20 years, but that's possible that the wing they found came from that mystery plane that I've been looking for.
Isn't this interesting? Bomber or fighter?
No, we don't know. We don't know. We have no record of the plane. We just a visual by the lighthouse keeper. No one survived. There's no record whatsoever. And I've gone looking for it, and I haven't been able to find it.
Isn't this interesting?
These things get buried in the mud very quickly, but trawlers can hook up on them.
This bloke, Mick Elcote, said, here it is, 7 kilometres north of Cape Tribby found it. He thought it might be part of a yacht's rudder or possibly a trim tab from an aircraft.
So there was only a little piece. Well, there's no record of a plane going down in that area. There's one out on Ruby Reef, but it's in the coral. It's intact. There's one off Rocky Point, and the wing and most of the parts are intact. And then the mystery one a few miles south of Snapper. And that's it, unless it's a modern plane that went missing. So, but see, now it's coming that it wasn't a wing, it may be a rudder, maybe this or that. Yeah. I think it needs a little bit more investigation,
Fair enough. Always good to be able to turn to you, Ben, because you've got a photographic memory about these matters going back decades.
Luckily, I'm nearly 85 now, but my memory is pretty good.
Exactly.
I hope it keeps that way
sharp
for a while.
Sharp as a tack. Always a pleasure, Ben. Thank you.
Good. Thank you, John.
He's got this amazing historical understanding of what was happening back in World War II, particularly with those planes, particularly a lot of planes were being delivered to Australia brand spanking new and ran out of fuel as they were coming down from the north after being delivered from the United States. And as he just said, our airport was flat out during World War II. The Cairns Airport was given over to military use, and they were just flat out, as you can imagine, with the sorties going from here and from the Tablelands up across New Guinea and out across the Coral Sea. So it's always interesting to talk to Ben. He's got a wonderful understanding of what was happening back then in World War II. Up here, the underwater explorer and film producer, Ben Cropp.